You're listening to 98.5 RDU. And now it's time for one of my favourite segments of the week. It is Book of the Week with Scorpio Books. And we have on the line today the one and only Josh. Good morning, Josh.
Good morning. How's it going?
I'm very well. How are you?
I'm all right. I'm on the phone today as I've injured my foot and didn't want to walk up however many flights of stairs there is.
it's not crip friendly, really.
It's really not. No. You need an elevator or something.
Now, were you rock climbing or something?
I was bouldering. Yeah, I do just indoor bouldering.
Wow.
Surprising. That was good. Surprisingly, not from falling off the wall, which is how most people injure themselves.
Oh, really?
It was while I was on the wall, and I just pushed off my foot at a funny angle and had a loud pop, and
oof.
3 hours in A&E later, and here we are, you know?
Oof. Ugh.
That's good.
I feel like that's getting quite popular now, the whole, like, indoor rock climbing thing.
It's blown up. I've been doing it for, like, 7-8 months or so now.
Oh, wow.
And, yeah, no, it's great. Yeah, me and Natalie go, and, yeah, it's a great time. It's would recommend.
Well, maybe. I'm lazy, but I'm open to it. I'm open to it. Anyway, we should probably talk about books, shouldn't we?
That's right. That's what we're here for.
So what are you reading? What are we?
Well, I have two books. They're the first two books in what will be a trilogy. The third one is yet to come out that I have read recently, and they are just incredible. They're easily my favorite two books I've read this year.
Oh wow!
Except for Wheel of Time books, because they're just kind of in their own.
Well, you're biased about those.
Yeah, so. And their own. It's too hard to compare them to anything else. So besides those, this is my favorite book. So the series is called The Empire of the Wolf by Richard Swan. The first book in the series is The Justice of Kings, and the second book is called The Tyranny of Faith. Basically, rough, plot hook summary. It follows the story of Conrad von Volt, who is an emperor's justice, which basically how that works is basically in this world, this empire, the Empire of the Wolf, has recently expanded its borders quite considerably over the last 50 years or so. And because of that, they now have all this new territory that they need to kind of, you know, patrol and protect, and so they have these justices who basically can act. They're kind of the senior most authority next to the emperor, and they can go to kind of these provincial towns and be kind of judge, jury, and executioner in these far off places.
Right.
So the kind of the empire is very much a mix of like ancient Rome with a bit of like kind of British imperialism. It's kind of Roman in that sense that kind of they have this very strong devotion to like common law, and they're kind of the first kind of nation within this world to kind of have a very strong kind of, you know, constitutional thing about how important the common law is and how everyone, man or woman, is treated equally under the common law.
Right, yeah.
And so von Volt is very much a strict adherence to that law.
Okay.
And seeing someone act outside of that is, he takes it almost as a personal affront. He's like, do you not realize how good the system is?
Oh, right.
You're ruining it for your own gain. But there's a couple of things about the book that make it like very unique in the fantasy space. One is that, which I haven't, I'm sure there's other books that are written like this, but I can't remember reading one. So the main character, like I said, is Conrad von Volt, and it's told from a first-person perspective, but not his perspective. So the first-person perspective is from Helena, who was his like clerk slash justice in training, slash kind of protege. She was like an orphan on the streets that he picked up like a few years before the events of the first book. So it's all told from her first-person view, and it's kind of her in the future writing back about this time.
Yeah, right, okay.
You know, like in places she's like, if only we knew what was going to happen next kind of
stuff. That is quite interesting. So
it's very interesting because he's very, you know, he's on the blurb, he's on the cover, he's like the main dude, and then you read the first chapter and you're like, right, this isn't even from his perspective.
Interesting,
which is
wow.
A very interesting way to do it. I think it really makes him as a character more... It adds to kind of the mystique and mystery of kind of being an emperor and kind of the abilities that they have.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
Speaking of abilities, the book has magic, as any good fantasy book has. But it's got it in a very kind of ancient, religious, kind of pagan magic way, almost. So... basically, in this empire, there's the only people that are allowed to wield these magics are the justices, so people Conrad. And usually most of them can only wield about one or two. And the magics are very kind of dark almost, but they use them for kind of, you know, to uphold the law.
Uh-huh.
So the main one that everyone has is the emperor's voice, where they can basically shout a command and it acts as almost a telepathic... you know, hit to someone and they kind of are forced to speak truthfully or to perform the command.
Uh-huh.
And then the other one that he has, which is not a common one amongst justices, he kind of talks about how he's one of the only few practices that is a rough form of necromancy. So if someone has recently died, he can, rather than kind of pulling them back to the world of the living, if they describe it as he kind of grabs a hold of them and is thrust into the afterlife after them and then can ask them a few questions before they get kind of drifted off into the darkness of what comes after.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah, it's very kind of Lovecraftian horror almost, the way that kind of this afterlife and necromancy is. You can see how it might be a useful skill for a detective to be able to talk to the recently deceased.
Yeah, oh, very much so, yes.
Yes, but also comes at great personal cost as it's kind of horrifying and, you know, horrors beyond comprehension level disturbing for the one having to do it.
Yeah,
that particular aspect of the book is explored quite a lot more in the second book. It's kind of set up phenomenally in the first one, and I remember reading the first one thinking, I hope they explore this more because it's very interesting. But it really kind of takes shape in the second one. But yeah, there's just something about the writing style. It was actually, the first book was the debut for the author, Richard Swan. And it's just written, the pacing and the story is exceptional. I mean, I've kind of explained a lot of the big plot elements, but the general story is a kind of aristocrat or like a lord of a certain town's wife has been murdered, which is very uncommon. And so he's been tasked with investigating it and finding out who murdered her and why. And through that starts to kind of uncover a greater plot that is a bigger threat, not just to the small town, but also to the empire at large. And yeah, I won't say much more because I don't want to spoil some of the interesting mystery of it. But
yes, be careful.
Done very well just in terms of a standalone mystery. I mean, I read it so fast and you just want to, these characters are so engaging and so interesting and it's one of those books where, you know, some books, and it's not necessarily always a bad thing, but sometimes the characters very much feel like they are there to serve the plot, almost to serve me as the reader. Like every action they do is very much like I'm doing this thing because it's interesting and it's going to move the plot along.
Right.
Sometimes it's fine, but then in certain books like this one, the characters and the world feels like if I stop reading it, it's just going to keep going. Like these characters are so fleshed out, so well done, so real that even though it's in, you know, fantasy world with magic and swords and empires that don't exist and stuff, I feel like the moment I close the book, I feel like they're continuing to exist without my, you know, I just feel like I'm looking in at a real thing that's happening. It's a testament both to the writing of the dialogue itself by Richard and also just the kind of the pacing and the craft of the plot and of the mystery is just Yeah, I mean, I'm obviously gushing about it so much, but I've been gushing to everyone about it because it's incredible. I love it so much.
Yeah, that's a really difficult thing to achieve with writing, I think. But, wow. I kind of really want to read it now. Thank you so much for joining me this morning, Josh.
That's all right. Thank you so much for virtually having me. I look forward to surmounting those stairs once more in a few months and seeing you in person.
Yeah, I hope we can get back to normal. It gets lonely in the studio.
I know. I remember it. Sometimes you're there and you're just like, no one else here, and you just feel like you're talking to yourself sometimes, you know?
Yeah. Well, I am, really, most of the time.
Yeah, don't worry. There's people listening.
Well, lovely to talk to you, Josh. Have a wonderful, wonderful day.
Thank you so much. You too.
And that was Josh from Scorpio Books telling us this morning about his book of choice. Actually, two in a trilogy. I think trilogy is always good for storytelling. I think it's the right amount of storytelling.